We're talking today with Bill Buckner from the Noble Research Institute, and that's a new name, Bill. Actually, for years known as the Noble Foundation, the agricultural division that worked with a lot of our farmers, ranchers across Oklahoma and Texas. You've rebranded the organization as the Research Institute. Why?
Well, there was a piece of legislation that Noble introduced back in 2008 that Congress actually passed in 2015, which created the ability for philanthropists, if you will, like Mr. Noble, to create an agricultural research organization. There's about 320 medical research organizations across the country that were started by individuals of wealth, but there was never anything that existed for an ag research organization or AROs. So it was Noble's intent that once this piece of legislation actually passed, we can migrate our operations into an ARO. And what that does, Ron, it just offers us so many more opportunities to expand our mission, if you will, not just within the confines of around Ardmore, Oklahoma, but as our opportunities grow and they exist, we can take those programs and put them to better use in other parts of the country as well. And so it's an exciting time for us, but I have to admit it's tough to say the Noble Research Institute after so many years of the Noble Foundation.
Right. As you arrived a few years ago to Ardmore and to Noble, you really started working with your team to kind of expand the footprint gradually, and you've done so within Oklahoma, but beyond even the Oklahoma-Texas region.
We have. I think that's what the trustees asked me to do, was to create more relevance for the foundation at that time. And of course, I knew that we had this piece of legislation sitting there at Congress, and that was an objective of ours, is to get it approved, because I felt like once we had that approved, everything that we'd been working on, we could then bring forward and begin to implement. And that's kind of where we are today, is in the implementation phase of a lot of different things that we're quite excited about.
I know, as I've talked with some of your staff and a lot of the folks that kind of your partners out in the field, they feel that things are still the same, but you're obviously expanding as well.
That's correct. You know, the whole intent is not to create just change for the sake of change, and it's an evolution. And so the things that we really feel like where we can be very good at, like standing up the Soil Health Institute on a nationwide basis, there wasn't a reason we didn't put it in Ardmore, Oklahoma, other than the fact that we wanted more of an opportunity for that entity to stand on its own two feet. The initiation of the nationwide cover crop breeding network, the Noble Foundation's Noble Research Institute, we've been, that's our work is in forages, and that's what cover crops are. And so it was just natural that we could take our influence that we have across the country, bring a breeding network together to build a regional competency around developing new cover crops, and really drive that whole initiative to reach its maximum potential around the country. And that's an example of how our influence, I think, can reach beyond what we do in Ardmore.
And those two subjects you mentioned, soil health and cover crops, that's really cutting edge.
Well, it really is, and it goes back to our mission. That's what Mr. Noble wanted to do first and foremost, was reparation of the soil. And we felt like over the years, plant science was sexier than soil science, and we kind of lost our way along those lines, and I think that's what the trustees wanted to get back to. And I think the critical nature of how we view our soils today in terms of its overall soil health is as much prevalent today as it was 60, 70 years ago. Our intent is to really put a stake in the ground and say it stops here, and so we're really trying to raise a lot of money for the Soil Health Institute, but use our capabilities at Noble to expand that awareness as well. So we kind of see both of them growing together.
You're doing some great things as far as the world of conservation, and we've talked about a couple of those aspects of that. But you're working with other stakeholders in the state of Oklahoma, pulling together what you're calling kind of a summit for conservation. Tell me about that.
Sure. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, we actually convened a group from the National Association of Conservation Districts in Ardmore. They had asked us to do a facilitation with their senior staff to begin understanding how they can be more effective putting conservation on the ground. And so we did a deep dive effort with them and found that for the last 60 years also, that the conservation districts, for their intent and purpose of how they were created, they were struggling to make sure that all districts and all counties across the country were operating at a very high level. And in conversations with Trey Lamb at the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, it was abundant or clear to me that Trey was also struggling with that same dilemma in Oklahoma. So we got together and we kind of looked at ways that we could actually bring more relevance to the efforts that everybody was trying to move forward with. That was NRCS, Conservation Commission, Conservation Department. But everybody struggles with the same thing, and those are resources. And so now we're trying to figure out how we can do more with less in a joint effort. And really our underlying belief is that if we're successful in Oklahoma doing that here, we'll have other states that will take this model and adopt it so we can start getting conservation on the ground in a much more effective and meaningful way.
How do you see this summit really helping move the ball forward, I guess you could say, in the world of conservation?
Well, I think first and foremost, we all need to understand that just bringing a summit together doesn't mean that we're going to have more money to spend. So there's a huge education component associated with the outcomes of the summit itself to help state appropriators understand the benefits of conservation in Oklahoma, not just around, you know, the appropriations needed for water structure and watershed control and things of this nature, but also around the ancillary benefits that come with good, clean water and healthy soils. And, you know, and so when you look at it from the prosperity of a state, when there's companies thinking about coming here, moving here, or there's individuals thinking about moving here to create another job, they think about an ethic. And that conservation ethic is something that I think Oklahomans can embrace and feel good about, and where there is an opportunity to be a shining star in the country, and that's what we want to really try to take and push forward.
Of course, a lot of the conservation kind of dates back to the Dirty 30s and that Black Sunday legend, and Oklahoma's kind of that epicenter.
Absolutely, and I think that gives us that platform and the reason why I think we can be that model. And I think, too, we have a strong work ethic that says, you know, we don't really want, you know, the government monies to pile in. If we can find free market opportunities to advance conservation, that's really what we want to do. So the whole idea of how do you commoditize soil and water is in return some of those dollars back to landowners and reward them for practicing good conservation methods, I think is also something that we can embrace here and create that model that others will look upon us and take forward. And certainly having our former attorney general as the head of the EPA coming out of Oklahoma, I think would also be a big benefit, because I think they too are looking for different models that can be successful in introducing conservation around the country.
Circle back around to our first set of comments regarding the Noble Research Institute and the idea that this is a new model for agricultural research in this country. Where do you see Noble and this whole concept of these research institutes for agriculture 5-10 years down the road?
Well, I think we always felt like if we could find 7 or 8 other individuals or entities that could set up these ag research organizations across the country, that capacity building that comes along with that and the momentum that comes along with that in terms of its awareness and the need for more agricultural research will kind of flow along that same line. So there's a private foundation down in San Antonio that's making the move to an ARO. It's called the East Foundation. They're associated with the King Ranch family. We just had an interesting conversation last week with an entity back east around the idea of an ARO. And so I think they're interested in making that move. So we don't just do this for ourselves. We do this to create the awareness and the need for more ag research, and this is just another avenue. But obviously, if we can be successful, our land-grant institutions are successful as well, because an ARO has to be and has to have a connection back to a land-grant institute or a land-grant college.